Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're so thrilled to have you worshiping with us. As Pastor Greg said, if you weren't here, it would have been a different service altogether. Amen. So, you know, we truly appreciate when you come out. And today's daylight savings, so I thought I was going to lose an hour. I gained an hour, so I'm great. You know, I did a little bit of workout this morning for about 5 minutes, and that's just about it. last week we had Pastor Jerry with us from the Syosset campus, and he did an excellent job in terms of kicking off this new series. And we're talking about mingles, match, and harmony. And if you're new to Shelter Rock Church, you know we have this format where ever so often we go through a 4 to 6 week series when we focus on a particular subject in general, and then we talk about and we unpack several topics that support that overall theme. And so we're talking about relationships over the next few weeks, and today in particular we're going to talk about the relationship of marriage. And the topic that we're going to be looking at this morning is the master's marriage plan. This is one of those subjects that is very difficult to talk about because many of us, we have so many different views on the whole concept of marriage. And for some of us, we've experienced the trauma that comes with divorce, and we're here to say as a church, no one is judging you or no one is going to put a hammer over your head or anything like that. We are a church that is filled with grace. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but you know my life has been plagued with sin, and God forgave me of my sins, and I'm washed in the blood of Christ, and the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Amen? Okay, I'm not feeling you this morning. If we're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Amen? And so this morning, I just want to put that out there because we're going to be talking about some difficult things this morning. And my concern or my heart is that you don't walk away feeling as though, wow, that was something that is hard. The reality is that sometimes the truth is hard. And sometimes we have to hear the truth. Because I don't know about you, but sin has a way of devastating our lives. And God wants us to be happy. I don't know about you, but God wants the best for you. He wants you to be happy. I mean, He wants every single day of your life that you wake up in bliss. But the unfortunate thing is that we live in a broken world. And part of that is broken relationships. Amen? And so we have to unpack that and see, okay, what is Jesus telling us about relationship, especially as it has to do with marriage? And so we're going to be talking about some things this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation because it really, there are certain verses that it really does a very good job of just adding a little bit of a, you know, clarity to what is being said there. But if you have your Bibles, you can follow as I read. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went down to the region of Judea, east of the Jordan River. And what is going on here is that Jesus had just finished his teachings on, you know, how we ought to conduct or resolve conflict within the body of Christ, within the church. And he also talks about this notion of forgiveness and the idea that if when you're praying, if you don't forgive someone, guess what? The Heavenly Father won't forgive you. And that came all in chapter 18. And so he's talking about, okay, now Jesus had wrapped up that teaching, and now he moves on to Judea, and now a large crowd followed him there, and he healed their sick. Now, this is where we are going to be spending a lot of time. Verse 3 says, some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Verse 4, he says, haven't you read the scripture? Jesus replied, they record that from the beginning God made them male and female, And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. The Pharisees retorted, and they came back at Jesus. He says, then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? Right? Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts, but it was not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery, unless his wife has been unfaithful. And the disciples that were with Jesus, they heard Jesus make this statement, and they said, if this is the case with marriage, it is better not to marry. That was his disciples. Right? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord, we're going to need your help this morning. Father God, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are gracious and that you're loving and that you're merciful. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we break your word this morning, that the truth of your word will be revealed to our hearts. I pray, dear God, that our hearts will be softened and ready for your word. And I pray, God, that as we step out of these doors this morning, that we will appreciate, oh God, the beauty of your creation. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do in our hearts. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here, if we go to the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about this notion of marriage. And, you know, as I said before, many of us in here, we have varying views on this notion of marriage. But the question is not whether or not, what your view is. The question is whether or not that view came from Scripture. Because for the believer, for the follower of Jesus Christ, the Scripture is the final authority on what is true, what is right, what is just. Amen? Not our society, not our culture. Because I don't know about you, but I'm living in a culture today where one thing can be right today and tomorrow it's wrong. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. Come on. Right? I mean, one thing is okay in this context, and in another context, it's not okay. Yeah. I mean, culture is always changing its mind. And that's one of the challenges we're having today, and that is, you know, we are living in the 21st century, and we're looking back with 21st century lens at the 20th century and the 19th century, and we are judging that century, we're judging their behavior based on our lens today. But culture has changed, culture has shifted. What was right for them is no longer right for us. Amen? Some of the things that was okay then is not okay now. And that's just the nature of life. And so the question is, if everything is always shifting, if everything is always changing, where do we anchor our beliefs? Where do we go to find truth that doesn't change? Truth that transcends culture, transcends time, and even transcends countries and borders. Where do we go to? We go to the Word of God. Amen? And so this morning, that's what we want to do. We want to unpack the Word of God and see what God has to say about this topic of marriage. The Bible says in verse 3 that the Pharisees came and tried to trap Jesus with this question. And what you have to understand here is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those are the two primary groups that are mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament. The Pharisees and Sadducees were the best way to put it is like the Democrats and the Republicans. That's just to give you some context or something that you can hook onto, right? They had opposing views about everything. They had opposing views about marriage. They had opposing views about resurrection. They had opposing views about everything that you can name. And more often than not, Jesus was always in some kind of a battle or fight with either one of these groups. And it so happened that the Pharisee was the one up this go around. And they asked Jesus a question, not to try to have him really explain what the truth is, but they asked Jesus a question to try to trap him. Because what was going on at that time, and I'm giving you some historical context here, what was going on at that time was that there were two schools of thought about this notion of marriage and divorce. There was the more conservative view that said The only reason why someone should ever divorce is if someone has committed an egregious act in the marriage, or, you know, someone has been unfaithful in the marriage, and that's the only reason for divorce. And that was the more conservative view. For Old Testament reference, go back to Deuteronomy 24, 1 to 4. Deuteronomy 24, 1 to 4. The other view was a more liberal view, which said you can just divorce a person for any and any reason. Meaning that if a wife burnt the toast, she was toast. Okay, you'll get it tomorrow. Okay. Two competing views, right? And now here is a Pharisee who is asking Jesus a question so that he could get trapped and try to alienate one from the other. Does that make sense? And so here's the question. The question is, should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for any and any reason? And there's just so many things wrong with this question, but we're not going to unpack all of them. We just want to focus on a few things. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for any reason? So that is the focus of this man's question. And the thing I love about Jesus is that Jesus doesn't focus on divorce in his response. He focuses on marriage. Because what Jesus wants to do is that Jesus realizes that the issue here is not divorce. The issue is that your view of marriage is thwarted. And what Jesus wants to do is to correct this man's view of marriage. Because if your view of marriage is okay and intact and in line with truth, divorce is a non-issue. Does that make sense? So, the first point that I see here as we're talking about this notion of marriage and divorce, and the first point that Jesus raises here, is that marriage is God's idea. It's not a human or societal construct. Marriage is God's idea. It's not a human or a societal construct. Because we can think of marriage as something that culture created or that our society created. And if our society created marriage, we can just discard it without any remorse, without any regard for one's feelings, for one's, you know, commitment, for one's investment in the relationship. But if marriage is God's idea, what Jesus has just done is that he's elevated marriage back to the will of God for our lives. Amen? It's quiet in here. Let's look at verse 4. Jesus says here, haven't you read in the scripture, they recorded from the beginning that God made them what? Male and female. What did God do? God made them male and female. And he says, this explains why a man has to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. In other words, Jesus is saying here that if you think that marriage is just something you can discard, you are gravely mistaken, because marriage is not a human construct. Marriage was created in the mind of God as a gift to his people, as a gift to his creation. Do you see that being unfolded here? Now, what Jesus does here is that he clarifies the role of the male and the female. Two genders, male and female, and the two are joined together and they become one. Amen? Now, it's interesting here because what Jesus does is that he tells us that male and female were uniquely created for each other. And as they are joined together in marriage, they better or more clearly reflect the image of God in our culture, in our society. And that's why he said, it is not good for man to be alone, right? But when we are joined together with a female, man with woman, woman with a man, it more clearly reflects the image of God in our society, in our culture. And I don't know about you, but the enemy has a way of wanting to destroy God's image. And he will do any and everything to cause contention, to cause disruption in one marriage, because what? He wants to tear apart what God has put together. Marriage is not to be taken lightly. It is something that God has ordained for our good. Amen? Not only does Jesus clarify the role of male and female, but what he goes on to say is that the second part of this is that he says, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. And the second point I see here is not that marriage is not only God's idea, but marriage is a sacred act that unites two people as one. Marriage is a sacred act that unites two people as one. Quite often, when we think about marriage, some of us, we have a very transactional view of marriage, don't we? In the sense that, how many of us have ever played with Legos? Right? With Legos, you put the pieces together, right? And you can just make something, right? And then, if you want to make something else, what do? You take it apart, and then you can make something else, right? That is not the view of marriage that Jesus is putting out here. You can't just put things together and unravel them and put them together again like that. It doesn't work like that. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying marriage is more like I knew I had this for a reason. He's saying marriage is like water. It's like water. In a Lego piece, you can put them together and you can separate, and the distinction is clear, is it not? But Jesus said marriage is more like water. It's like when you pour water into one and pour water into one, there is no way for me to separate the water anymore. There is no distinction. It has become. So the point I'm saying is that there is no way for me to separate the particles here and really get two. It's one. And that's the image of marriage, right? And unfortunately, our society has trivialized marriage to the point where they think that marriage is transactional, so that, you know, we can just be joined together and we can just be separated and everything is fine. No. Research has shown that folks who go through divorce, it wreaks havoc in the heart. And when you divorce someone and when you leave someone, you truly never leave them behind. There's some part of them still here. Because you know, one of the purposes of sex is it's not just a pleasure act. It's not just a biological act. The act of sex is so as to join us and knit us at our most fundamental, at our most deepest level. And so young people, when we engage in sexual activities outside of the framework of marriage, what you're actually doing, you're joining yourself with other people. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. You're joining yourself with other people. Hello? And it's not just a physical act. It's something that happens at the core of your being. It's a spiritual act. And sometimes you see our young people being transformed into something that, wow, where did that attitude come from? Or where did that personality come from? No, they're being joined in the spirit with someone else. And that's why God says sex outside of marriage is not ordained. The place for sex is within the confines of marriage. Why? Because I am committed to you. You are committed to me. We are joined together. Hello. Yeah, I knew it was going to be heavy this morning. Right? But what God wants us to do, what God is saying is that, listen, I don't want you to trivialize sex. I don't want you to trivialize marriage, because what I want you to do is that I want you to be joined with a person, and when you're joined with them, you are inseparable. It says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen? The reality is, some of us in this room, we have been through divorce, have we not? And we know the havoc that reaps in our heart. But I'm so thankful to God that God is able to mend our hearts. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. There's some of us who, man, we wanted to keep our marriage. We wanted to hold on to it. But that person, they just didn't want to have anything to do with it. But you know what? Even though they took a piece of us with them, God was able to put our hearts back together again. And we're able to love again. We're able to praise again. We're able to worship again. We're able to live again. Because He has reconstructed our hearts. Amen? That's the grace of God. That is the grace of God. Amen? Now, Jesus goes on to say, so the Pharisees, they came back to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, so why does Moses permit a man to divorce his wife? I don't know about you, but that's a good question. If both of us are joined together, if both of us are inseparable, why does Moses allow for a divorce? And Jesus answers that question. Turn with me to the two more slides. It says, why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written divorce? They ask. Jesus replied, divorce was only a concession for your hard hearts. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying the only reason why Moses allowed for the children of Israel, for the people to be divorced, is because of their hard hearts. I don't know about you, but whenever it comes to marriage, I've been married for almost 18 years now. And thank you. And I must admit to you that the first years of our marriage was not good. At least I thought it was good, but my wife told me it was not good. Yeah, she's right there. Yeah, just wave your hand, honey. She's like, she's not. Okay. And the reason for that was that when I entered into marriage, I'm from a different culture, and I had certain expectations about what a wife should do in marriage. And somebody's like, ooh. And so when those expectations were not met, I became overly critical. Oh, why are you not doing this? Or, you know, I mean, I was nagging. Until one day I sat down with my wife and we had a conversation. And she said to me, honey, whenever you criticize, whenever you say this, you are hurting me. And I'm like, what? Really? I had no idea. Now, I could have done two things. Well, one thing. I could have continued to be critical and not respond to what she is saying, right? And damage not only my marriage, but damage her. Or I could soften my heart and give up on my expectations and start to understand who she is, start to appreciate who she is, and start to figure out who she is so that we can relate better together. Does that make sense? I could be hard-hearted, continue to be critical, damage her, damage the relationship, or I could soften my heart, right? Understand her, understand what her needs are, understand what her desires are, understand how she's made up, and respond accordingly. Yes? Thank God I was smart enough to choose the other one, because we're still married today. But Jesus is pointing out something here that if we're not careful, it happens to all of us. There's something that happens. Jesus is saying that there's something that happens between I do and I'm done. There's something that happens between the altar and the lawyer's court and the attorney's office. What Jesus is saying, what has happened is that our hearts have become hardened. And when that is the case, more than often, it causes us to separate. It causes us to fracture what God has put together. There was a research that was done. There was a research that was done. And the question was asked, why get married? Why get married? And this is in America. And the response came back, over 88% of Americans say the reason to get married is for love. The second highest response was a lifelong commitment. Over 80% of Americans said that. And yet our divorce rate is about 50%. So the question is, what happens between I do and I done, and I'm done? And I present to you a tale of two gardens, a tale of two gardens. Many a times we look at marriage and at least at somebody else's marriage, and we're like, man, it looks like this beautiful garden, doesn't it? I mean, the flowers are all beautiful. Everything is just nice. I mean, the kids are so well behaved. I mean, they're holding hands and they're smooching. And like, some of you are like, ew. Right? It's this beautiful garden. It's this beautiful picture. Right? And you look at this and you're like, wow, this is what I want. But the reality is sometimes we don't see the effort, we don't see the work, we don't see what it takes in the background. And the reality is that some of us, our garden looks more like this. Right? Because when we get married, I mean, you're looking at a person and love just blinds your eye, doesn't it? Talk back to me. I mean, you see no wrong in the person, you know. I mean, they're just beautiful. We're holding hands in a restaurant and we're eating, you know, wine and steak, and we're beautiful. And then you say, I do, and you come home and you realize she has baggages and you have baggages too. And the question now becomes, how do I deal with this? How do I make this into the previous garden that I see? And the reality is that it's going to take work, it's going to take effort, it's going to take you studying your wife, it's going to take your wife studying you, it's going to take sacrifice, it's going to take all these things for this to become something beautiful. And the reality is that the potential is there, is it not? The potential is there. But there are two key ingredients that every marriage need in order to thrive. The first, forgiveness has to be at the heart of your marriage. And secondly, grace has to be at the heart of your marriage. And the point I want to make here is that marriage flourishes in an environment where there is grace and forgiveness. You see, what forgiveness does, forgiveness cleans out the mess. Oh, you've offended me. I forgive you. You've done something, you know, damaging. And you really didn't intend on doing it. You know, I forgive you. It cleans out the mess. But you know what grace does? Not forgiveness cleans out the mess, but grace waters the soil. Grace has to do with your attitude towards your spouse, your attitude towards each other. Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you tender? Are you merciful? All these things. Ladies and gentlemen, marriage is not something that we should take lightly. It is something that God created. It is something that God gifts us with. It is something that is sacred, and it reaches us at the deepest core. And it's something that can be cultivated. However, there has to be forgiveness and grace there. Amen? Amen? Amen. Could you stand to your feet with me? The disciples responded to Jesus, "Jesus, if this is how marriage is, it's better not to marry." A few things I want to make about that. It's okay to be single. There are some of us that God has gifted to be single. Man, celebrate your singleness. Don't let somebody force it and look down on you like, oh, you're not married yet? I'm not married yet, and I'm fine with Jesus. It's okay to be single. Jesus was single. Oh, you didn't know? Okay. John the Baptist was single. Paul was single. But they used their singleness and committed that to the kingdom of God. Amen. So it's okay to be single. The second thing is this, is that if you've gone through divorce, or you know you're going through that right now, I love this church because we have what we call divorce care, and it's a group, it's a community group that meets together and they work with you, and they just try to be that community around you in this tough season. It's hard to give your life to someone else and they just don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. It's hard. But this church has provided a community that you can go to say, hey, this is what I'm going through. They've been through it and they can help you navigate that storm. And the last thing is this. Young people, sex is not something that you ought to trivialize. It is God's gift to us that knits us together at our deepest level. And if you want to see your marriage flourish and intimacy in your marriage, preserve yourself until then. It is within the confines of marriage that, man, you experience some of the most. Awesome blessings of God's gift. Marriage is sacred. Don't trivialize it. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your words to our hearts this morning. God, I pray that as a people, we will realize, oh God, that marriage is your gift towards for us. And God, that even before we enter marriage, and even before we consider joining ourselves to someone else, that God, we will seek you out. That God, we will ask you, God, is this person the one for me? God, is this person the one that you've ordained for me? I pray, dear God, that for those of us in this room who are married, I pray, dear God, that this morning they will see a bigger picture of your intent for marriage. That God, marriage is a gift for us. It is your gift towards us. And so God, we ask that we will no longer trivialize it, but God, we will treat it with the tender, with the care that is needed. For those of us who are single in this room, God, I ask that you will continue to give them the grace, that you will continue to give them the strength, oh Father God, to be focused on you. God, help them not to give in or feel as though they are less than. But God, help them to realize that God, you have, this is a crucial time in their lives where they can minister for you, where they can do work for the kingdom of God, where they can be effective in your kingdom. And it's something to be celebrated. God, for those of us who are looking to get married, I ask, oh God, that you will bind us together, stitch us together at the deepest core. And that it will be something that flourishes, a garden that flourishes, and will be a light and an example to those around us. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.